Welcome to 30 Minutes of VOA Learning English, the voice of America's information service for people learning English. Join us now for our daily magazine show, As It Is, and other programs designed for English learners.
Hello, from the Voice of America's Learning English branch in Washington. Welcome to As It Is, a free, daily, 30-minute program that helps you learn everyday American English. I'm Christopher Jones Cruz. It's Sunday, December 20th, 2015. It was on this day in 1977 that Djibouti and Vietnam joined the United Nations. And on this day in 2007, Elizabeth II became the oldest monarch of the United Kingdom. She passed Queen Victoria, who lived for 81 years, 7 months, and 29 days. Elizabeth II, of course, remains the Queen today, 8 years later. Today on the program, we'll tell you about moves Turkey has made to strengthen its border with Syria, especially those areas that are next to Syrian territory controlled by the Islamic State terrorist group. But some experts say they are not sure if Turkey will make strong moves against the group. And some Western allies are not sure if Turkey is part of the problem or part of the solution in the fight against the Islamic State terrorists. Then, as we always do on Sundays, we will bring you words and their stories. This week, we look at a word a lot of grumpy people use around the Christmas holidays: Bah humbug. And finally, we will present People in America. This week, we will bring you part two of our story of the life of Sam Houston. He was a congressman, senator, governor, president of the Republic of Texas, and a real American hero. So you can see, we have a lot for you today. Every day here on As It Is, we bring you news from and about America and the world. And we tell you the often surprising and always interesting history of the United States. We are a little different here at VOA Learning English. Because we exist to help you learn everyday American English, we speak a little slower than normal, and we use words that are easy to understand. Listen to the program, then practice saying the words and sentences the way we do. It's a free and easy way to improve your American English skills every day of the year. We're on the radio, on the web, and we come to you on a podcast. We are wherever you are. We're the Voice of America. Turkey says it is taking steps to strengthen its border with Syria. But some experts are unsure if the country will take strong action against the Islamic State terrorist group. Some of Turkey's Western allies do not know if the country is part of the problem or part of the solution in the fight against the militants. U.S. Defense Secretary Ash Carter was in Turkey this week. He urged its leaders to secure the border with Syria. Carter said that is the most important step Turkey can take in the fight against the Islamic State group. Earlier this month, Turkey placed the border with Syria under emergency rule. Semih Ediz publishes his opinions about politics in a Turkish newspaper. He says the decision shows that international pressure on Turkey is working. He says the policy change happened because there is a lot of pressure from the West, from Turkey's closest allies, that the border must be sealed. He writes that many people will ask why the border wasn't sealed sooner. Late last month, Turkey shot down a Russian warplane along the Syria-Turkey border. Russian defense officials claim that Turkey is involved in illegal oil trade with the Islamic State group. They said top Turkish officials, including President Recep Tayyip Erdogan and members of his family, are involved in the trade. But they have not offered evidence. Erdogan rejected the accusations. But Russian President Vladimir Putin said oil controlled by the Islamic State and other terrorist groups enters Turkey. He said the Russian plane was shot down to protect the security of these oil supply routes to Turkey. The U.S. has also rejected the accusations. American officials have called on Turkey to close a 98-kilometer section of its border with Syria. President Barack Obama says the Islamic State group transports foreign fighters and ships fuel for sale that helps finance their terrorist activities. Reports say Turkish forces are cooperating more with Western forces. Earlier this week, a Syrian man was detained after he was suspected of planning an attack on an American government target in Turkey. But some experts are not convinced that Turkey is serious about fighting the Islamic State group. Atilla Yesilada works at Global Source Partners, a research group in Turkey. He says the flow of jihadis and supplies towards the Islamic State group has lessened because of stricter border controls. But he says nothing has been done to attack the group's large network. He says the country's ruling party, the AKP, must attack the group's supporters and recruiters in Turkey. He says those who gather money for the group must also be attacked. But he says he is afraid AKP is unwilling to take that step because it's going to involve a large number of its conservative members. Now, it's time for the weekly VOA Learning English program, Words and Their Stories. Today, Ana Mateo is here to tell us about the phrase, Bah Humbug.
It is the holiday season in many parts of the world. Christmas is one of the most celebrated of those holidays. But even for those who do not celebrate Christmas, Christmas movies have become an American tradition. Many fun expressions come from these movies. When Americans hear these expressions, they know exactly what they mean and the movies they come from. On today's show, we will explore two words that come from one of the most popular Christmas stories made into a movie. A Christmas Carol. Writer Charles Dickens wrote A Christmas Carol in 1843. Ebenezer Scrooge is the main character of the story. Scrooge is one of the most famous characters in English literature, and the English language gained two words from A Christmas Carol. The first is simply the character's name, Scrooge. Ebenezer Scrooge is mean. He is unwilling to share his money and good fortune. He hates people, and he hates Christmas. In the English language, a Scrooge, with a lowercase s, is a person who is unwilling to give to others. Other words with the same meaning are miserly and stingy. Scrooges are selfish, and not just at Christmas time or the holidays. Here is an example sentence. Her father is such a Scrooge. He will not pay for her college tuition, even though he has tons of money. That father is a first-rate Scrooge. Now back to A Christmas Carol. At the beginning of the story, Scrooge is a cold-hearted miser who hates Christmas. Dickens describes Scrooge in this way.
The cold within him froze his old features, nipped his pointed nose, made his eyes red, his thin lips blue, and spoke out shrewdly in his grating voice.
How much does Scrooge hate Christmas? This passage from the book describes how much.
If I could work my will, said Scrooge indignantly, every idiot who goes about with Merry Christmas on his lips should be boiled with his own pudding and buried with a stake of holly through his heart.
This quote makes perfectly clear that Scrooge hates Christmas and all that it represents, namely, goodwill to fellow humans. Scrooge's catchphrase in the book and in the movies is Bah Humbug. As soon as you say Bah Humbug, people know which story and which character you are talking about. Bah Humbug is usually used as a response to someone else's Christmas cheer. For example, if someone asks you, "So, are you ready for Christmas?" and you say, "Christmas, bah humbug," that means you are not in a Christmas spirit and are probably not going to celebrate. Anyone who says bah humbug is rejecting or showing disgust for Christmas. Sometimes it is said in fun. Sometimes it is not. The story of A Christmas Carol is one of personal change, of turning over a new leaf, to use an idiom. As the story goes, the hateful Scrooge is visited one night by three ghosts of Christmas: Ghost of Christmas Past, Ghost of Christmas Present, and Ghost of Christmas Yet to Come. The ghosts educate Scrooge, and the last lesson is terrifying. But it works. Scrooge greets the new morning as a generous, kind person. However, word history does not remember him that way. His name will live on to mean the exact opposite. That's language. And that's another Words in Their Stories. I'm Anna Mateo.
Thanks, Anna. Now it's time for People in America. Today, we bring you part two of the story of Sam Houston. You heard part one last Sunday here on As It Is. Houston was a congressman, senator, governor, president of the Republic of Texas, and a true American hero. Last week, we reported on Sam Houston's problems as Commander-in-Chief of the Texas Army in 1835. Texas belonged to Mexico at that time,
and had not yet become part of the United States. Several Texas officers organized a small army and planned to attack Mexico without Houston's permission. These officers told their men they could have all the riches they could find in Mexico. Houston believed the planned attack on Mexico was wrong, so he resigned. But before he did, he ordered Texans in San Antonio to destroy the old Spanish fort called the Alamo. Houston did not think the Alamo could be defended against a strong Mexican attack. Here to tell you the rest of the story are Steve Ember and Nicole Nichols.
In February 1836, Texas representatives were preparing to meet. A few days before the meeting was to open, a message arrived from San Antonio. A Mexican army, led by President Santa Anna himself, was attacking about 180 Texans at the Alamo. Houston's orders to destroy the fort had not been obeyed. Texas soldiers were spread across the area. There was no help to send to the Alamo. The representatives decided that they must write a Declaration of Independence from Mexico. The declaration was signed on March 2nd. 2 days later, Sam Houston was elected Commander-in-Chief of the Military Forces of the Texas Republic.
Houston said he would leave immediately for San Antonio. In 2 days, his Texas army grew to 500 men. However, help came too late for the men at the Alamo. Santa Anna's forces captured the fort and killed every fighter there. The Mexican leader said death would be the punishment for every Texan who opposed him. Texans soon learned he meant what he said. Santa Anna's forces captured more than 300 Texas soldiers near the town of Goliad. The soldiers surrendered when the Mexicans offered to treat them as prisoners of war and return them to the United States. Yet the Texans never saw freedom. They were marched away from town and shot to death.
Houston's army continued to grow. However, few of his men were trained to fight. Houston decided his only hope was to withdraw until his soldiers were better trained and had more equipment. He marched his small force east, just ahead of Santa Anna's soldiers. Santa Anna and his force of 1,200 soldiers had camped on a flat grassy area near the San Jacinto River. On April 21, 1836, Houston and his soldiers fought the battle that would decide the future of Texas.
The Texans formed a long line across the north end of the field. Then they began moving toward the Mexican camp. Only a few meters from the Mexican defenses, the Texans fired. They shouted, "Remember the Alamo!" and attacked the Mexican soldiers. The Battle of San Jacinto lasted only about 20 minutes. The Mexicans were completely defeated. Only 6 Texans were killed and 24 others wounded. One of the wounded was Sam Houston. The Texans killed or captured hundreds of enemy soldiers. But General Santa Anna could not be found.
Houston ordered the Texans to find Santa Anna. If the Mexican leader escaped, he could lead another army against Texas. The next day, a group of Texans found a small, sad-looking Mexican soldier. The Texans almost let him go. But when they brought this soldier near the other Mexican prisoners, there were shouts of "El Presidente." It was Santa Anna. many of Houston's men wanted to kill the Mexican leader, but Houston knew Santa Anna was more valuable alive than dead. Santa Anna was ordered to sign an agreement recognizing the independence of Texas. The Mexican leader was returned home, and Sam Houston became a hero. The town of Houston, Texas, was named in his honor.
The newly independent Lone Star Republic elected Sam Houston its first president in 1836. He began to build a government. He appointed a cabinet. His government established courts and a mail service. However, there were many problems. Money had to be found to pay the costs of government. And there was trouble with the army. Soldiers were not happy with their food or their pay. Some threatened to overthrow the new government and attack Mexico.
Houston visited the soldiers. He told them not to do anything that might hurt Texas. The soldiers obeyed. The Texas Congress approved a bill that would let the government borrow $1 million. Houston rejected the bill. He said only half this much was needed. After 2 years as president of the Republic of Texas, Houston had secured the safety of the border, established the money system, and gained recognition by the United States government. Houston wanted Texas to become part of the United States, but northern states opposed statehood for Texas. They did so because of the dispute with the southern states over the question of slavery. As a new southern state, Texas would increase the number of states that supported slavery.
In 1840, Houston married Margaret Lee. They later had 8 children. The next year, the people of Texas elected Sam Houston president again. At the time, the Republic was deeply in debt. Houston ordered the Texas Navy to return from Mexico, and he established the use of another kind of paper money whose value was kept high. Mexican forces entered Texas again. Houston sent the Texas Army against the Mexicans. The invaders were pushed back across the border. There was trouble with Mexico for the next several years.
James Polk was elected President of the United States in 1844. Congress considered a resolution to make Texas a state. After much debate, the resolution was finally approved and signed into law. The Republic of Texas became the 28th state on December 29, 1845. Sam Houston went to Washington to serve as one of the state's first senators. He served as a United States senator for 13 years.
These were difficult times for the United States. The question of slavery was bitterly debated in Congress. The northern states demanded that slavery not be permitted in new states that joined the Union. The southern states demanded that slaves be permitted in the new states. In 1850, Senator Henry Clay of Kentucky proposed a way to settle the differences. He urged both North and South to compromise to prevent the nation from being destroyed. His compromise was approved. Just 4 years later, however, Senator Stephen Douglas of Illinois proposed a bill that would open all of the West to slavery. Sam Houston warned of terrible trouble if the bill passed, but it was approved. Houston was criticized in Texas for his opposition to it.
In 1859, the people of Texas elected Sam Houston governor of the state. South Carolina proposed a meeting of southern states to discuss withdrawing from the United States. Most Texas lawmakers supported this action. However, Houston prevented Texas from sending representatives to the meeting. In 1861, Abraham Lincoln became president of the United States. Many Texans still supported withdrawing from the United States, but Sam Houston urged his people to wait and see what kind of leader President Lincoln would be. Not all of them wanted to wait. Some called for a meeting to decide the future of Texas.
But before that meeting took place, South Carolina and five other southern states withdrew from the United States. Houston again urged Texas not to withdraw, but delegates at the meeting voted to leave the Union. Then the delegates declared Texas independent and voted to make it part of the new Confederate States of America. They also ordered all Texas officials to declare their loyalty to the Confederacy. Sam Houston refused. He said he loved Texas too much to bring civil war and bloodshed to the state.
Houston was removed from office as governor. His public life was over. He spent the next few years with his family and friends. Sam Houston died on July 26, 1863, as the United States was in the middle of a bloody civil war. George Grow wrote this two-part history of Sam Houston. Lawan Davis produced it, and we thank them both. That is As It Is for today. We hope it has informed and entertained you, and has helped you learn everyday American English. We truly want to hear what interests you, so tell us what you want to hear about. You may hear stories about your interests on a future show. Send us a letter or a postcard. Our postal address is VOA Learning English, Washington, D.C., 20237, USA. It's that simple. VOA Learning English, Washington, D.C., 20237, USA. And, of course, you can always email us. Our address is learningenglish@voanews.com. That's learningenglish@voanews.com. You can also send us a message directly through our website. Just go to learningenglish.voanews.com and click Contact Us. While you are there, you can read, listen to, and download our programs. You will also find podcasts, captioned videos, and lessons to test your English skills. Our website, once again, is learningenglish.voanews.com. However you get to us, we can assure you we will read every message you send us. You can also follow us on Facebook, LinkedIn, iTunes, Twitter, and on our YouTube channel, all at VOA Learning English. I'm Christopher Jones Cruz, reporting from VOA Learning English headquarters in Washington. I'll be back with you tomorrow at this same time to help you learn everyday American English with another broadcast, webcast, and podcast edition of As It Is from the Voice of America.